out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
It's hump day. So why does it feel like frump day? Are you barely making it through the week with no energy to speak of? That's all about to change. Welcome to Transforming Health with Brad King. Get ready to live with the vitality, youthfulness, and abundant energy you've always dreamed of. Now, here's your host, Brad.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another super exciting show today. We're just coming off of the Canadian Health Food Association weekend show. Every year, there are actually two Canadian Health Food Association shows where I lecture and present my entire product line. So it's just a great opportunity to meet all of the retailers that support our line in the few thousand stores that we're in across the Canadian market, and basically have the time to speak with some very interesting researchers, doctors, specialists in their related fields of expertise. So it's always something I highly look forward to. Today's show is something I'm definitely looking forward to, and you should be as well. We're going to be talking about alternative therapies today. We're going to be talking about ways in which to avoid the devastating diseases that plague so many North Americans today, because prevention, obviously, is the first choice. First of all, why are so many people sailing at half-mast these days? And worse yet, how many of these people have been living this way for so long they don't even remember what optimal health and vitality even feels like anymore? Too many individuals suffer from a condition. It's a condition of acceptance. They're really guilty of accepting their less than healthy status as the way it is. Well, unfortunately, for too many of them, perhaps all, they don't know any other way to be. Not anymore. Welcome to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King, your host, and this is a platform that helps change lives even one body at a time. Now, cancer may presently be the second leading cause of death in North America. However, if the trend doesn't change soon, cancer is expected to affect or infect 50% of the population within the next 10 to 20 years. Now, in the United States alone, nearly 60,000 people succumb to the disease every year. In Canada, nearly 3,000 people are diagnosed with cancer almost every week. Needless to say, cancer is one of the most feared of all diseases. Now, although these statistics are staggering, there is a lot you can do to reduce your risk of developing this disease. The key is simply having the right information and then obviously applying that information. Perhaps more than any other, cancer is a disease of the cells. More specifically, it's a disease that results from a problem within cellular metabolism. You see, the normal life cycle of a healthy cell involves a very controlled process. However, a cancer cell is a cell that no longer functions within normal controls, and due to this fact, it undergoes unrestricted growth. Cancer is one goal, and really one goal alone, to survive, and to survive at all costs, even at the expense of the host. Early last century, Nobel laureate Dr. Otto Warburg observed that tumor cells thrive in an oxygen-deprived environment. In a lecture to Nobel laureates in 1966, Dr. Warburg stated that in order to prevent cancer, it's imperative to preserve high blood oxygen levels. Of course, he also advised avoiding known carcinogens, which really isn't exactly easy in a world that produces over 600 billion pounds of synthetic chemicals every single year. And by the way, none of those were around for evolutionary existence. Today on Transforming Health, what if you or your family members were diagnosed with a life-threatening disease like cancer? What would you do? What if the standard conventional treatments for cancer, such as chemotherapy and radiation, the very treatments we trust our cancer specialists with, are causing more harm than good? Overcoming insurmountable odds is the focus of today's show, and most of all, how to avoid devastating diseases like cancer in the first place, because as I mentioned, prevention is always the best medicine. Today's guest is all about inspiring others to make the right choices when it comes to a serious illness. Within a five-year period, both she and her husband were diagnosed with late-stage cancers. After she and her husband reversed their terminal cancers and other health issues, her life mission became very clear to her: to motivate, to inspire, and empower others with tools to improve their health. Investing years in training, research, and study with top doctors and experts in holistic health, she discovered many of the secrets of what makes us sick in the first place, but most of all, how to make ourselves well again. Aside from being trained in biological medicine and advanced microscopy, she is the host of the Feel Great Now show. I love that name. Please welcome the author of Choose to Live, Joyce O'Brien. Joyce, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm fantastic, Brad. Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And, you know, you and I had the opportunity to have a very short discussion just before we went on air. And, you know, I mentioned to you that I've done shows in the past on cancer and alternative cancer therapies, and I've had people that are, you know, definitely against a lot of the main conventional therapies, the top three, which is really chemotherapy, radiotherapy, and surgery. And it's not so much about being against those types of therapies. I guess what it is it's more that those are the only options that the majority of the population is really faced with when they go to see a conventional doctor or a specialist in cancer, such as an oncologist. And I want to get your opinion on that, because I know that you were faced, obviously, with this, and you underwent some of those conventional therapies. And I want to talk about that in a few minutes. But first, tell us about your story. Tell us about this incredible journey from, you know, almost the brink of death to what I would call vibrant health. What led you to write this incredible book called Choose to Live?
Okay. And thank you for the wonderful introduction, and there was so much powerful information in what you shared, and I would love to be able to tap into some of that as we continue on with our conversation, because you brought up so many excellent points. So, you know, when we, my husband and I were in our early 30s, he was 31, I was 30, I was down on Wall Street and running a very successful business there. We were living the American dream, at least we thought what was the American dream. And with successful careers, you know, we were focused on building our dream home, building our family, our careers, having fun, traveling, all the things that we tend to strive for. And one day, and that was a number of years ago, and it all began, where in a five-year period of time, my husband had a brain hemorrhage, 3 strokes, and was paralyzed. He called me at work, and I didn't know who he was. I didn't recognize his voice. And he had to have brain surgery and pretty horrific physical therapy to even learn how to walk again and to get about 90% of his movement back again. A year after that, I was pregnant with our daughter, and the doctors thought that she had spina bifida and had wanted us to abort. We didn't. As it turned out, I had cancer. I just didn't know it. And I was diagnosed when she was 8 months old, and I was 33 at the time.
Wow.
As a result of being sick, I had lost pretty much everything. I lost my job, my life insurance, my disability insurance, my health insurance, everything that gives us any type of security. And a year after I was diagnosed, pretty much to the day, my husband was diagnosed with stage 3B malignant melanoma, and he was given a 20 to 30% chance of survival. A year after that was when we received the worst news of all, which was that the cancer had returned for me, and I was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and told nothing could be done to save me. So that all happened in a 5-year period of time. So when we
were Joyce, tell the audience, here you are, you're a young professional, you're in love, you're married, you know, obviously at the time you were thinking about having children, you were pregnant. You get diagnosed with cancer. So what did you do? What was the first thing you did? You're in your doctor's office. The doctor gives you the diagnosis. Take it from there.
Okay. So are we talking about the first time or the second time?
No, let's talk about the first time.
Because, okay.
You know, there are a lot of people that are listening to the show right now, probably almost everyone, I would imagine, that has been faced with cancer in one way, shape, or form within their lives because there's so much of it. So this is an important story, and I just really want to catch your journey, and then let's talk about all of the other things that we can do after that to avoid this devastating illness.
Okay. So, you know, when I was given this news that I had breast cancer, it was a complete shock because you have to figure this is 1998 when it happened the first time. No one would have expected at 33 years old that I would have been diagnosed with cancer. In fact, I was one of the youngest people in the, basically in the oncology department getting treated. There was only one other person there out of the hundreds that I met that was in my age group. And so we were in complete and utter shock. And the first thing that went through my head was, oh my God, I'm not going to live. And the second thing was, okay, well, what am I supposed to do? And at that point, I just followed along with exactly what it was that I was told to do by the doctors.
And what was that, Joyce?
That was to get in for surgery as quickly as possible. And I had, at that point, I had a mastectomy. And I had initially, they'd planned on just doing a sentinel node biopsy. And it was already in the node, you know, in the sentinel node. It actually, the ink went there pretty drastically, or I should say the solution went there pretty much immediately. Mm-hmm. So I knew before I even went into surgery that it was not going to be a good situation. And then after we had the, after I had the surgery, and it was actually pretty horrific because I had a tram-flap mastectomy, which they take the tissue and the muscle from your stomach and move it up for the reconstruction. Being an early age, you know, only 33, it made mm-hmm. sense to do that at the time, but it was absolutely devastating to me not being able to then ultimately pick up my daughter for the next 6 months or sleep in a bed or anything like that. And then I went in, once they discovered that it already, you know, traveled to the lymph nodes, then I had to have chemotherapy. That was really the only option for me at the time.
And how long did you undergo your chemotherapy?
Well, the interesting thing is I had my very first treatment and wound up in intensive care because I developed a neutropenic fever. So pretty much my immune system was wiped out with my very first treatment.
Wow.
And so they had to cut back on my therapy. The initial plan was to go every 2 weeks to make it more aggressive because I was young and that would be hopefully prevent me from going into menopause so that I could potentially have more children. And so that was kind of how it began. It really started off horribly, to be quite frank, about as bad as it could be between the surgery, not expecting how, you know, how horrible that was going to be. I went in as one person, and I came out as a completely different person.
So let me ask you this question. For people that are facing this within their lives, and I know of a couple right now that are listening to the show and have unfortunately just been diagnosed with exactly what you're talking about, you know, very very aggressive forms of breast cancer with the HER gene. And so my question to you is, were you prepared for what you went through with the conventional treatment of the surgery is one thing, but then the chemotherapy, were you prepared for all of the devastating types of reactions that you did experience?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Not in any way, shape, or form. I thought I would have my surgery, I would get back to work, and move on with my life. That is really what I thought would happen. The surgery would never have allowed that to be the case. Some people have experienced that.
Right.
I know that, though, the surgery that I happen to have is a pretty significant one, and it probably was more significant because I did not have a lot of tissue or you know, extra fat in my abdomen to do it, so they kind of stretched it a bit, and so that made things worse. And but in addition to that, I certainly wasn't prepared, number one, for it to be in the lymph nodes,
right?
And then in addition to it being there, to undergo any type of chemotherapy that would leave me basically, you know, an invalid for months and months, and as sick as I could possibly be, where my entire life changed in that instant.
Joyce, what do you think the reasoning behind that was? Like, for instance, you're going to see your doctor. You're relying, obviously, on the information that he or she is giving you. And why do you think they did not prepare you properly and did not tell you what some of the consequences could be from the therapy?
It's a very interesting question. I think, you know, there's part of it, especially back then, I don't actually know exactly, you know, what happens now, but I don't know if it's that they don't want to scare you into thinking about what it could be like,
right?
Or there are just so many variables that they just don't know how someone's going to react to it. You know, there was one instance, and this was probably one of the most shocking ones, where based on one of the drugs that I was taking to help me through the initial experience, it was a steroid, and I was having hallucinations, and I thought that there was someone in my room trying to kill me. And so the interesting thing was, you know, that was something that no one ever told me, that it could be possible to have hallucinations, and that was the one that scared me the most. It would have been helpful to know something like that, because I thought I was losing my mind.
Well, Joyce, you know, I want to hold it right there. We're going to go to a break, and I want to come back with this, and let's finish off with, you know, some of what you had experienced. And it's not, you know, about making you relive this, because I'm sure you've obviously spoken about this many times over in your lectures and your other media interviews. I think it's just very important for the listeners to understand really what could happen, and whatever therapies they decide to undertake. I mean, that is their choice and their choice alone. But people should always be prepared. They should be prepared for what could happen, because then that way, you know, they're going to better protect themselves. And I think that's the most important thing here, is whether you're taking a conventional therapy or an alternative therapy, there are ways to protect yourself against some of the damaging reactions that can take place even with very toxic therapies such as chemotherapy. You're listening to Transforming Health. I'm Brad King. My guest today is the author of Choose to Live, Joyce O'Brien. We will be right back with more of this incredible show.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are, in the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Mark your calendar and set an alarm so you do not miss the highly acclaimed talk show, Holistic Living with Tina Marie and Todd Allen. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific for inspirational, oftentimes edgy discussions on all that life brings our way, with celebrity guests, world-famous authors, and everyday people dedicated to sharing positive, uplifting messages. Tina Marie and Todd Allen bring you the very best in talk radio discussions, guaranteed to make you smile.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Transforming Health. What an important show today. If you're just tuning in, we're discussing overcoming the odds today by avoiding, really avoiding diseases like cancer. And the question is, despite spending millions and millions of dollars each year on trying to find the so-called cure for cancer, why aren't we any closer to winning the war? I mean, that's the same war, by the way, that was first declared in 1971 by President Nixon. Perhaps the real war is being fought against things like alternative cancer therapies, many of which seem to hold a lot more promise than a lot of the toxic mainstream treatments, which often cause irreparable damage to the very bodies that they're supposed to heal. Cancer patients need to stop being frightened to death and into believing they have no other option than to choose a conventional approach that has been recommended by the very professionals they're putting their trust in. How many times have we heard stories about a cancer patient that was told by their oncologist that if they didn't undergo surgery or radiation or chemotherapy immediately, that they would die, as if the doctor knew absolutely that your life was going to end? Why are so many cancer specialists not willing to consider, just consider, that there are other alternative treatments available that do show incredible promise? And I guess that really is the million-dollar question, isn't it? Today's guest is all about inspiring others to make the right choices when it comes to a serious illness. Within a five-year period, both she and her husband were diagnosed with late-stage cancers. After she and her husband reversed their terminal cancers and other health issues, her life mission became to motivate, inspire, and empower others with tools to improve their health. And we will be talking about some of those tools, so make sure you have your pen and a pad of paper handy, because there's going to be some notes that you're going to want to take on the show. Please welcome back the author of Choose to Live. We have the one and only Joyce O'Brien with us. So, Joyce, I just want to finish off from the first segment. We were talking about, number one, your diagnosis. You shared with us that both you and your husband were diagnosed with cancers, different cancers, but nonetheless cancer. And then you had your daughter, I believe it was, and she was diagnosed with spina bifida. And so a lot of really, you know, not so happy things happening within your life. Here you are, you're being diagnosed. You go for a radical mastectomy, so to speak, and then you undergo this chemotherapy, and you didn't know exactly what to expect from that. So, what would you want to share with anyone that's listening to the show right now that is thinking, you know, here I have no other choice but to undergo, you know, chemotherapy or radiotherapy? First of all, what would you want to share with those people? And then second of all, if that was the only choice that that person had, what would your advice be to them to at least prepare them and to perhaps even limit some of the negativity that can occur?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing that I would say is that, you know, it's a very individual choice as to what's, you know, what to do ultimately. And the main thing that I think is so important is that cancer is a multifocal disease. It didn't just occur because of one thing that happened. It's not something that happens to us. It's something that we create unknowingly.
Right.
We create. Just like we ultimately have, you know, headaches or depression or sinus issues or, you know, fatigue and all these other sorts of things. And they're all the warning signs of what it is that's our body is trying to tell us. You know, I call them the whispers. You probably heard Oprah say that. You know, you've got to get it in the whisper.
Right.
And basically, it's our body telling us that something is wrong. Pay attention. You need to do something about this. And if you continue to ignore me, I will continue to progress. you know, with whatever it is that's occurring. And that's because our bodies are basically they're natural healing machines. But if we don't pay attention to it, then it doesn't know how to heal. It doesn't have the power and the ability to be able to heal. So there are so many contributing factors that I discuss in my book and on my website about why cancer, you know, will develop in the first place,
right,
which is something that I became so passionate about studying once I was told that nothing could be done to save me. I needed to know why. Why did it happen?
Mm-hmm.
And not from a victim standpoint of saying, why me? It was more like, why, so that I can do something about it.
So Joyce, so, I want to talk about that, but I just want to get this last piece of the puzzle. I want to put it to bed, and I just want you to explain, just what would you want to tell those people that, once again, are just about to undergo a very serious therapy, like a, you know, and I start to hesitate to call it a therapy, but I mean, that's what it's called in conventional circles. So just what would you share with these people?
Okay, that was kind of, it was my roundabout way of getting back to that,
okay,
which is that that it developed because of something that we were doing or things that we were doing all along, and just treating it with one thing, which would be, for example, chemotherapy or radiation, which, you know, can be effective in some ways as well, but you're not getting rid of the causes of why it happened. So I would just encourage people to start addressing that and say, this is not my magic bullet. You know, I need to be able to look at things from a different perspective so that I can start healing my body, as opposed to just, if you have chemotherapy or radiation, you're destroying not only the good cells, but the bad cells.
Right.
And the body then doesn't have the chance necessarily to be able to recover from that and to heal itself. So when you get to the root causes of it, or you start addressing these other root causes, I would say you need to do more than that. If that's a choice that you make, and everyone mm-hmm. has to make that as an individual decision, then make that, but realize that you need to do more than that.
Here's my question for you. You went the conventional route the first time.
Yes.
But there was a second time. So tell us about that. I mean, obviously,
it didn't work.
Would you say the first time around you were cured of cancer?
No, absolutely
okay, so
not.
Tell us about that. What
yeah.
is that all about?
So the first time around, and this comes back to what I've learned in this process. So I had a mastectomy, you know, significantly aggressive mastectomy, right? I had my lymph nodes removed. I pretty much lost the use of my arm, my left arm, as a result of that. I have scars all over. And in addition to that, I had chemotherapy, which destroyed my immune system. So I did not make any changes. And that is the main thing that I would love to get across, is that this is not, as cancer being a multifocal disease, my not making any changes allowed the cancer to continue to grow.
About not making any changes, there's so many things we can talk about. There's your environment, you know, mm-hmm. who do you choose to allow into your life? There's mm-hmm. your diet. There's your lifestyle choices. What are you talking about, all of those things, or are you talking about one specific area?
No, yes, all of those things. I am talking about physically, mentally, and emotionally.
Okay.
I'm talking about there are things that we hold inside of us from the time that we're children that we just push off and think that it's okay and we dealt with it, or we just ignore it and push it down. Those things are contributing factors. You know, there's an emotional component to it. There's a physical component, which includes many of the toxins, the environmental toxins, the things like stress, all the foods that we're eating, food intolerances, heavy metals, all these contributing factors that are basically filling up our body to a point where our body just can't handle it anymore. And we
right.
are, that's what our environment is like now. We're just, as you said, it was, you know, 600 billion pounds of synthetics. Those
yeah.
are types of things that we're being exposed to on a daily basis.
So, Joyce, you go the conventional route once again the first time, the second time. So now the cancer is, I guess, for all intents and purposes, in remission the first time. Is that safe to say?
I don't believe that it ever was.
Okay,
because
but you were told that.
Also had discovered a lump shortly after I had finished the chemotherapy, probably just several months after, and I was told that it was nothing to worry about.
Wow.
And that continued on. I went four more times for my checkup, et cetera, and I was told that there was nothing else to, you know, nothing to worry about. And it turned out that, in fact, it was cancer. And it obviously it had, you know, 18 months or so, and it was the most aggressive form of cancer as well. So it had that much time to really continue to grow.
So did you undergo once again the second time around? Did you? Your doctor, I'm sure, would have said we have to undergo another bout of chemo. Is that what happened?
No, it was the opposite. They said, sorry, we're not going to treat this. Basically, they said there's nothing that we can do to save you, and that goes into a whole other topic of why, you know, why that was the case.
Right.
And I wound up going for a second opinion on that for somebody who was willing to do something, because that was before I discovered alternative and holistic therapies.
Okay, and what we're going to do, we're going to go to a break right now, because I want to come back on the second half of the show, and I want to have a good amount of time to discuss, really, I would say the most important segment of the show, which is really, number one, why you believe we really get cancer, why cancer is so rampant in our society, and really, what can we do, and what have you found that we can do to really, number one, prevent this disease, and number two, possibly even treat it if we already have it. So you're going to, once again, going to want to get your pens, pad of paper out, where you're going to want to take notes. Joyce O'Brien has some, incredible theories and statistics on this. The book is called Choose to Live, Our Journey from Late Stage Cancers to Vibrant Health. And today's show is really about finding the inspiration and the right information to overcome life-threatening illnesses like cancer. The website, if any of you want to check this out, www.joyceobrien.com. That's JoyceObrien.com. We will be right back.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on 7th Wave Network.
Are you living your vital life? One that is showcasing you at your full potential? There are many issues that stand in the way of most people achieving their full potential. We will discuss these issues and how to overcome them each week on The Vital Life, Awakening Your Full Potential, with host Dr. Carolyn Coker Ross. Living The Vital Life often requires that we trust our own intuitive voice and that we view illness or life challenges as calls to action to reconnect with the deeper urges of our spirit or soul. Tune in Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
There's evidence that there are literally hundreds of alternative cancer treatments that are available, and a handful are actually believed to be extremely promising and possibly even highly effective with minimal, if any, damage, unlike their conventional counterparts. So why have the majority of cancer patients who are faced with making a life or death decision, why do they never hear about them? Or worse yet, why are they immediately shot down by the majority of the medical profession when someone questions their efficacy? If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, wouldn't you want to explore more than one option? I know I would. The majority of the medical establishment is against alternative cancer treatments because, for the most part, they're taught to believe that disease can only be treated through surgery or drugs. Now, this is one of the main reasons most doctors are convinced that the only viable treatments for a disease like cancer are things like chemo and surgery and radiation. It's not as if doctors are really out to get us or trying to intentionally harm us, but our belief systems do define us. So if a doctor is only recommending a conventional medical approach to cancer treatment, it's because he or she believes that this is your only option. I mean, after all, no doctor would intentionally harm a patient. The question is, what would you do if you or your family members were diagnosed with a life-threatening disease like cancer? Would you simply give up, or would you fight for your life? You know, I'm willing to bet that most people would try to do whatever it would take to overcome their illness and come out with the least amount of damage on the other side. The problem is that with most conventional treatments for cancer, even when people beat the odds, they're often left with devastating damages from the very treatments that were supposedly designed to save their lives. What we need is really the right information so that we can avoid these devastating diseases in the first place. In other words, we really need to become more proactive and less reactive. Believe it or not, cancer is to a large extent a man-made disease, and we really need to avoid the things that put us directly in its tracks. Today's guest is all about this. She's all about inspiring others to make the right choices when it comes to a serious illness. Within a five-year period, both she and her husband were diagnosed with late-stage cancers, and after she and her husband reversed their terminal cancers and other health issues within her family, including her child, by the way, her life mission became clear, and it was to motivate, inspire, and empower others with the tools to improve their health. So aside from being trained in biological medicine and advanced microscopy, she is the host of the Feel Great Now show. Once again, please welcome the author of Choose to Live, Joyce O'Brien is with us. Joyce, there are so many theories on why so many people are being diagnosed with cancer these days. I want to get your take on this. You started alluding to it in the last segment, but tell us why you think cancer is as rampant as it is in our society.
Well, the main concept is, and you know, this is what I studied when I studied biological medicine, is that imagine that our bodies are like a barrel. And we keep putting things into the body that are contributing to its ill health. We do it, for the most part, just unknowingly. And at a certain point in time, the body says it's too much. So let's talk about what some of those things are.
Sure.
For example, we could talk about heavy metals. They're a significant factor in why our health has deteriorated. There's such a large number of the population, I believe it's 70% of a healthy population has high heavy metals. Heavy metals suppress everything. They suppress your immune system. They start to, you know, impact your neurological system. There's so many factors. If we don't keep a healthy immune system, our immune system isn't then available to heal ourselves from cancer and to, you know, to basically go to those cancer cells and remove them from our body. So what happens is we have, let's say, for example, the heavy metals, particularly mercury, lead. We have high-stress lifestyles, you know, pretty much horribly high-stress lifestyles, mm-hmm. myself included, being down on Wall Street. We are not eating foods that are high in nutrients. We're eating foods that are dense and have no life force to them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll eat fast foods. That's another significant contributing factor rather than eating healthy, you know, live foods, vegetables, things like that. We are also eating things that we don't know that we're intolerant to. About 70% of the population is intolerant to certain foods and also does not know it. Again, suppressing the immune system because the immune system sees these things as foreign matter and then, you know, goes to attack it, and a large part of the immune system is created in the intestinal tract, so these foods are going in there, and there are a whole other host of issues, but those are just some of the basic ones.
Yeah, you're not talking about food allergies. You're talking about food intolerances.
Different, yes.
So give us an idea of what those are.
Okay, so a food allergy would be something like peanuts or shellfish, where you have that immediate reaction where you can go into anaphylactic shock and potentially die. Food intolerances are things that you don't even know about in many cases for 24 hours, up to 72 hours. You don't even know that the symptom that you're experiencing has been created from something that you had several days ago.
Right, and then there are foods that really constitute about 80% of those food intolerances.
Exactly.
Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. It would be dairy. Mm-hmm. It would be wheat, typically eggs, certain nuts. Those are pretty much the big ones, and believe it or not, sugar. So sugar is another one that I just want to mention, and I hope that everybody hears this one, because sugar is one of the things that also goes into filling up our barrel. And basically, sugar suppresses the immune system significantly. 1 teaspoon of sugar can suppress the immune system for up to 6 hours. So if you figure that something that we think is healthy, so let's just take a cup of yogurt, something that we think is healthy because it's got the probiotics in it, yogurt is not only dairy, so dairy, if you are intolerant to it, is going to suppress your immune system. In addition to that, dairy clogs the lymphatic system. And if you looked at the China study, see that it also contributes to cancer. So there's those three things.
I just want to interject there for 1 second, Joyce, because in Germany, there are actually cancer specialists, oncologists, that they use a therapy called a systemic cancer multi-step therapy. I don't know if you've heard of that before.
No.
Where they actually inject glucose into cancer patients in order to activate the cancer growth, and then they use high doses of chemotherapy or radiotherapy or hyperthermia. And they've actually found that some of these treatments have doubled the 5-year survival rates.
Yeah.
And a lot of cancer centers that use positron emission tomography or the PET scans to detect cancer, what they're doing is they're locating the sugar-feeding hot spots in the body. So cancer loves sugar because it creates energy through a process called fermentation, which is really without oxygen. So you're absolutely right. Sugar is one of the primary fuels for cancer.
That's exactly right, and that was what I was just going to say, is that it lives on it. It feeds on it directly. And it's what you're talking about sounds very similar to the things that I have done. This just sounds like it's maybe just has its own little tweak to it. It's similar to IPT, insulin potentiation therapy, where they feed they attach the chemotherapy to the sugar and then inject that into the body through an IV.
Right.
And then the cancer cells pull in the sugar because they feed on it, but they also pull in the chemotherapy. So they are actually able to use low-dose chemotherapy rather than high-dose, which is what it sounds like they're doing in Germany. And I was one of the people who had hyperthermia.
Oh, interesting.
So, I had several rounds of hyperthermia. I went to a clinic in Switzerland for that. So, yes, it sounds very similar. And the reason why, we're able to heal the body is by doing so many of these things, cutting out the contributing factors, some of which I mentioned.
Right.
When we keep throwing these things into our body, as I said, at a certain point, our body says, sorry, can't take it anymore. I'm going to express myself. So in my case, I just want to share this because I love this part.
Sure.
I had not only stage 4 cancer, I had chronic fatigue, sinus problems, daily headaches, migraines, depression, aches and pains, all kinds of things. And I was 33 years old. I thought, and this is what I loved about your introduction, I thought it was normal. I thought that I was supposed to feel that way, and I had gone to several doctors. They all told me that there was nothing wrong with me, but there was. And when I made these changes that I outline on my website, joyceobrien.com, in fact, I have a free download that taps into some of this. When I started making these changes and I really started cleaning myself out and removing these contributing factors, within a 30-day period of time, I went from feeling god-awful horrible, part of the detox, to feeling better than I ever felt in my life, and all of the symptoms that I had lived with my entire life were gone within 30 days.
Unbelievable.
And then I continued on to be able to heal the cancer.
Don't you think a large part of that was just by really controlling the blood sugar response of the body?
Well, actually, there were many factors. In my case, I also had extraordinarily high heavy metals.
Right.
So my levels were off the charts, literally. I think they were close to 50% higher than the allowable, acceptable rate, even though there really is no acceptable rate to have, of mercury in your body.
So did you get your amalgams removed?
That was another contributing factor. I'm sorry?
Did you get your amalgams removed?
I had had them removed about 10 years prior unsafely because the dentist said, you know, these are much better for you. They're healthier. But if you, this is something to really be aware of and be very, very cautious of. Do not have your metals removed unless you're having them removed by a qualified biological dentist. And I strongly believe that you need to detoxify yourself of the metals first before you have them removed, because the releasing of those metals into your body will not only create, you know, havoc in your body, but can also contribute to a much more serious illness like cancer.
You know, I just want to mention, there actually is a product that has quite a bit of research out there, and people can get more information on it. There's a couple of websites. One is called Leaf Source, LeafSource, leafsource.com. The other one is buyleafsource.com. And this is a discovery. It's not a man-made product, but it is a natural chelating agent. And that's really what you're talking about, Joyce, is chelating, which comes from the Greek word meaning claw, enveloping the heavy metals, putting them in a place of suspension, and then eliminating them safely from the body. And, you know, there are ways you can do that. There are certain doctors throughout North America that do injectable chelation therapy, but there are also natural substances out there, such as this Leaf Source, that are nature's natural chelating agents. And, you know, we're all subject to these heavy metals, so I think it's very, very important. And exactly what you're saying, Joyce, number one, get these things removed professionally from your body. If you're going to a dentist, you know, you want to go to somewhat of an alternative dentist that understands how to safely remove dental amalgams, because the leaching of the mercury vapor into your mouth and into your skin can be more dangerous than actually keeping those fillings in place.
Yes, and you can go to IAOMT.org, I believe it is, and that's where you will find the safe protocol and also dentists who might be following that protocol. And that's the important thing to note also, is that it does not leave your body on its own, but the havoc that it wreaks by staying in your body is really powerful. So it's very important. Also, another thing to do is to get your levels tested. Because if you don't have a starting point, which that's, I think, really important as well, definitely, you know, take a look at our site for more information about that, because there are different ways to test it, and some are effective and some are not.
There you go. Our guest today is Joyce O'Brien. The book is Choose to Live. We're going to be back with the final segment of Transforming Health and finding the inspiration and the right information to overcome diseases like cancer. We're going to get into a few of the other areas, the things that we should be really wary of, such as the xenoestrogens in the atmosphere and in the food and in some of the products you may actually be putting on your skin and also drinking out of. So we'll talk about those when we get back, and those could greatly limit your exposure to carcinogenic substances.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Did you know that the environment may play an ever-increasing role in a sluggish metabolism, which can lead to reduced energy and weight gain? The good news is that the Ultimate Her Energy and Ultimate Male Energy can help combat these negative effects. Please visit www.awakenyourbody.com to find out how you can once again look, feel, and perform in a youthful manner.
Are you in pain? Do you want more energy? A stronger immune system? Rarely does nature reveal a therapeutic agent so incredible that medical researchers and the people who try it are astounded by its health-enhancing benefits. Introducing Leaf Source, a mineral product that is derived from a 100% natural, organic, prehistoric seabed deposit. To find out how Leaf Source can help you, visit www.leafsource.com.
Frankly Speaking About Cancer is a program designed to empower survivors and their caregivers to deal with the social and emotional challenges of cancer. The show will invite physicians, researchers, nurses, social workers, patients, and caregivers to share their advice on how to live a better life with cancer. Join host Kim Tibaldo, President and CEO of the Cancer Support Community, Tuesday afternoons at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Network.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Transforming Health with host Brad King. Our program will open up your youthful energy potential and help you live a disease-free life of abundant energy and vitality. Now, back to the program.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the final segment of what I believe is one of the most important shows that I've done. Most doctors really have a tendency to believe that not only what they were taught in medical school must be true, but they also believe that what they were not taught must not be important. As a result, most doctors are still thinking inside the box when it comes to cancer. Doctors who think outside the box and treat the actual cause of disease rather than the symptoms, unfortunately, are more often than not labeled as unprofessional or even quacks. As I mentioned in the opening of the show, a fresh supply of oxygen is no friend to cancer. This is where proper exercise is no longer an option either. High-impact cardio really allows for fresh oxygen to circulate through the 60,000 miles of blood vessels and get to the 100 trillion cells of the blood. Resistance exercise like weight training allows for a higher percentage of lean body mass, which actually requires the construction of new blood vessels to support the new tissue, which means even more oxygen. Exercise, by the way, is a proven way to deliver rich oxygen to every cell in your body. And research shows that exercise is also very helpful if you were recovering from cancer. Once again, for the final segment, please welcome back the author of Choose to Live, Joyce O'Brien. Joyce, what's your take on the importance of exercise in, number one, preventing cancer, but also in possibly treating cancer?
Well, I do believe that exercise is so important, and you hit it right on the head, which is the oxygenation of the body. You know, it's not just the oxygenation of the body, but it's also the reduction of stress. There is so much benefit to exercising, and, you know, there was a long period of time where I could not do that, and I have to tell you that that is when I felt my weakest, and it is also when I felt my worst, when I was not able to exercise.
Well, one of the reasons you're talking about for stress, and by the way, and you're probably aware of this, that women who feel stressed, even at work, are at a higher risk of developing breast cancer, and that's according to, there was a study last year that was based on 14 years of research and involved 36,000 Swedish women, and it showed that those who experienced the most demanding jobs, meaning the most stress, were actually 30% more likely to develop breast cancer. And when you talk about things like oxygen, Joyce, one of the things we understand is the blood vessels will constrict when there's a lot of excess stress within the body, and obviously we can't transport enough oxygen to the cells of the body. So I just wanted to interject that. How did you deal with the stress within your life, and what do you have to offer in the way of advice for other people?
Well, I think, you know, you brought up such a good point, which is that the stress level, if you think about it, I was down on Wall Street, and I had a very, very high-level position on Wall Street, working ridiculous hours. The stress was so intense. That was just one factor. It wasn't the only factor, but it is such a significant factor. And, you know, by exercising, we're able to reduce some of that stress. I mean, yes, obviously another thing is by meditating. You know, I think that we significantly underestimate the value and the importance of meditating.
Right.
Quieting down not only our minds, but our body, to give it a chance to heal. Sleep is so important. You know, we don't realize how important it is. We can never make up for lost sleep.
Sure.
It's so important for us to get a good night's sleep. And that's when our body regenerates and recharges. You know, there's really so much that's involved there. And the one thing I do want to mention, though, is you don't want to over-exercise.
Right.
That's not a good thing either.
Or oversleep.
You know, or oversleep.
Yeah, you know what's interesting about that is there was also a study showing that shift workers have a much higher rate of various cancers as well because their timing mechanism is always off. So
yeah.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the one-third of our lives we should spend in bed sleeping really does dictate how we live the other two-thirds of our lives on the most fundamental levels of all. We only have a couple of minutes left, Joyce, and I know you're so impassioned about giving people the right information to protect themselves. So what do you feel are really the most cancer-protective things that people can do or perhaps even take these days?
Well, again, it's, you know, there are many different factors, and I would like to just tap into just a few of them. And, of course, you can get a lot more information on our site and through our book. But the main things I want to say is that you want to have a low-sugar diet. And when I mean low sugar, it's just not how many teaspoons of sugar you're putting into your coffee. It's literally turning over the label and seeing what those ingredients are and also seeing how much sugar is contained in that particular product, whatever it might be.
Right.
And that, I know that this is a tough one for most people to hear also, but that includes fruit. You don't want to spend a large part of your day eating fruit because it is also high in sugar. So you really want to, you know, you really want to reduce that as much as you can.
What about fruit juices? What about fruit juices? Because you hear a lot of...
Oh, super high in sugar.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, they're super high in sugar. You want to also have your heavy metals checked. And again, you can get that information on our site. You want to even possibly have your food intolerances checked. And one of the things that, you know, I say that people should do is start a food journal. Really pay attention to what it is that you're eating. Write it down, even just for a week, maybe a week and a half, and really pay attention to what's in the food that you're eating. For example, you can also just figure out how much sugar am I really eating. And so many people really don't get what it is that they're doing. You could
right.
go and have a latte, and the latte could have 60 grams of sugar in it. Meanwhile, you want to have half of that for your whole day. So you're winding up, you know, having an extraordinarily high amount of sugar in just one thing.
Joyce, you just lost half the listeners there when you attacked the lattes. You know that, right?
I do, but I have to say it. I can't help it.
Okay, I just want to mention one thing, because you're talking about food here, and inflammation is at the root cause of a lot of diseases, even cancer, and studies have shown that cancer cells actually use inflammation. They use an enzyme called the LOX5 enzyme in order to propagate and infiltrate and metastasize. So inflammation is caused by the foods we eat, by things like hydrogenated, partially hydrogenated vegetable oils, things like shortening, margarine, fried foods, processed foods, fast foods, a lot of dairy, a lot of beef, a lot of organ meats, a lot of lamb, pork, shellfish. And there are foods that actually limit inflammation, and those really come from things like the omega-3 fats, flaxseed oil, hemp seed oil, fish oil, krill oil. I just wanted to get that in. We have about 30 seconds left. Joyce, what parting words would you like to leave with the audience that's listening to the show today?
Okay, the first is just continuing with the things to do is eat as many leafy greens, dark, you know, any types of raw greens that you can get into your body. And the next thing that I would just like to impart is just take a breath. Step back for a moment and look at the overall situation. Trust your intuition. Allow yourself to guide yourself as much as possible. Tap into that part of you that really does know what's best for you. And then be your own advocate. Become empowered to take control of your own health and to choose to live a vibrant, healthy life.
I love it. My guest today has been Joyce O'Brien. The book, Choose to Live, Our Journey from Late-Stage Cancers to Vibrant Health. Joyce, you are a very inspiring person, and I believe in you. I believe in your message. I'm now a fan of yours. I'll be following your work. I'll definitely have you back. The website is www.joyceobrien.com. That's www.joyceobrien.com. You've been listening to Transforming Health. Please, if you haven't done so, go on to Facebook and type in Transforming Health with Brad King, and that way we can keep in touch. I can give you updates for upcoming shows, goodies, gifts, all sorts of wonderful things. Joyce, thank you so much for being my guest. Go out there and continue to inspire others.
Thank you, Brad. It's been great to be on the show, and thank you all for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to Transforming Health with Brad King. Be sure to join us again next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Looking forward to next week. Now, with your newfound energy, go out and make it work for you.